Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
We don't have a lot of hard and fast rules on Thunder and Lightning. I say it all the time, but one of them is if you win a national championship, you get to be on the podcast. I'm joined here today by members of the Hail State debate team, national champions, Brett Harvey, the Director of Federal Regulatory Compliance at Mississippi State. He is also the head coach of the MSU debate team. Did you get a ring? Did they give you a ring?
We don't have rings. Well, I've been thinking about that. That might be the next thing we do.
We can get Brandon Walker from Barstool Sports. He's a ring funder. We'll get him to do that.
Okay, there you
Devin
go.
Hutchins, junior, double major in philosophy and economics.
Yes, sir.
Hannah Daniels, junior, business economics and Spanish.
Yes, sir.
We are going to debate today, and if you just want to guess how this is going to go, based off of their majors and what you know of me, this should be a very fun show. But let's get into winning a national championship, and Devin, we'll just start with you. Talk about question, Brian. Tell us about the tournament. How does a debate national championship tournament come about, and how is it seeded? How do you get into the tournament, so on and so forth?
Yeah, well, the way that we run it is we have an open tournament, which I think makes it a lot harder. You know, you don't have to get up there and go up against all these, like a small amount of teams that made the seeding, like you talked about, like it were maybe a baseball national mm-hmm. championship. You have every single school in the nation that can make it down to Starkville, which is where we hosted it last year, coming down and competing against us, which, I mean, makes it basically like the March Madness of debate. And so it takes a lot of hard work to get that championship, and I think that makes me really proud as a member of the team, because it was like, you know, going farther than any other team in that really, really insane bracket and beating out, what, like 50 schools that showed up?
Yeah, so IPDA debate has about 200 active schools, and to be honest with you, they're probably the 50 that show up for tournaments like this are the ones that think that they have the real capacity to try to be competitive for it. And so that's what we had. There are a lot of very fine programs out there that might not have made the drive down from, say, Michigan or from California. The way the tournament works is it's kind of like a track meet. Everybody competes individually, but we add it all together to see which team is the overall winner. So when you get there into the elimination rounds, after you've sort of made the cut, kind of like in golf, you have preliminary debate rounds. You have, at this tournament, there were 8 of them, so a lot. And then the teams with the individuals with the best record will move on, and that's like a single elimination tournament. And so basically what we have is when we get down to the last day, we're counting up the numbers of like how many people do these other top programs still have debating, how many people do we still have debating, how many more rounds do we need to win mathematically to win the championship.
And so yeah, sort of like match play for golf.
Yeah,
okay, I see
like
what you're
that,
saying
right.
there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I understand that. Who, Hannah, who are the good debate programs in the country other than Mississippi State? And if you ask me who are the best football programs, I'd be like Georgia, Ohio State, you know, Alabama. Who are the debate powerhouses?
So a lot of them are actually pretty small schools. So we're thinking like Union University, which is a small, like, private Christian university in Tennessee?
Yeah.
And then Abilene Christian University in Texas.
Arkansas is pretty good.
Really?
Arkansas?
Yeah, Arkansas, the Hogs, they've come on in the last few years. They're good. Tennessee is coming back a little bit, and Alabama has always been very good at forensics overall.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this year a lot of the schools, Dallas Baptist, Abilene mm-hmm. Christian, obviously we're a fairly big school. Notre Dame comes to some of our tournaments, and they're pretty good as well. But yeah, some of these smaller schools have been really, really good this year.
I'm Catholic. We love to argue, so that makes a lot of sense. We have to ask. I mean, it's a Mississippi State podcast. Ole Miss, any good?
No.
They scored 0 points this year.
I've got to be diplomatic. So Ole Miss does a different format of debate. It's more sort of like a collegial. They go to a few tournaments a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like a team thing where you have like 4 people up there, and I think they are very, very fine at that, but they don't compete with us in what I would consider kind of the sort of the Division I of debate.
I right? liked her answer better.
I'm okay, yeah, no, they're terrible.
Totally honest. What was the final debate? What was the final match that clinched the national championship for you?
Well, so the way that worked was we kind of had to do the math, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we had one of our debaters in the final round, Anamika Kaji, And she unfortunately lost that round, but she did great. She was debating about whether the Baltimore Bridge disaster was essentially a harbinger for all other cities. And so she had like a real uphill battle because, you know, what happened in that bridge disaster was like a million ton vessel just randomly hit a bridge.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to argue that every city in the country can prepare for that.
Right.
But really the way it kind of ended was us just doing the math and realizing that we had more people making the semifinals and then one making the finals and things like that. And the celebration was kind of in what we call our prep room, which is kind of our war room where we get ready for the rounds. And it was like, yeah, this person's out, we're still in, and I do the math. Like, yeah, that's it, we won. So, you know, it was a lot of fun.
That's really cool. So do you tank the last debate at that point?
No.
You just go in there
and
it's like, ah, you just suck. That's why this is wrong. The skills of debate. You know, obviously, you're both economics major, so I get where debate would be very helpful in that. Maybe you go on to be a lawyer or something like that. What skills has this taught you that you can take into the workforce?
Do you want to start, or should I?
I'll start.
Go ahead.
I mean, I know for me, like, being able to be on a podcast and not, you know, I mean, you do this for a living,
right?
And so you know, when you get on here, you can say basically whatever you want because you, in your mind, you've created a regimen of things that you want to talk about and things that you're comfortable talking about. And that's kind of what debate has done for me. You know, it's given me a lot of extemporaneous speaking ability. And so being able to get on this podcast or, I don't know, talk in class or any other setting where I would need to use my voice, obviously that's going to help. And then, of course, the research skills, broadly speaking, you know, the way that we do debate, you have about at least six rounds. Right, where you go in and you research like a different topic each time, and so that you're going to get a lot of broad knowledge just from each and every tournament. You know, I mean, there's a ton of things to learn. I'm sure Hannah's got some of her own unique stuff.
So. I definitely agree with both of those. So definitely like research skills and general like public speaking knowledge. I also think it's taught me a lot about argumentation and rhetoric. Like when it comes to using those skills in classes, I kind of know. You know, what are some logical pitfalls that I can fall into? It helps me understand when people are trying to make points better because I've done this, you know, again, at least six rounds, usually more at multiple tournaments a year. So for me, it helps in a lot of ways, but especially with like general argumentation, extemporaneous speaking, and research.
Practically, what does debate bring? Like when you're just in a social setting, are you winning all your arguments with your friends at this point or... You know, is it something that makes life easier for you, I guess what I would say?
You get into a lot more arguments.
Really?
So probably not easier.
Really? That's interesting.
I think I actually get into less arguments.
Really?
I think I understand when an argument is worth it and when it's not a little bit more post-debating. And it helps me also better understand people when they're trying to make arguments because a lot of times arguments come down to like these broad misunderstandings of what the other person's trying to say. So being able to like listen to someone in a debate round and try to figure out what they're trying to say, even if it's like a little convoluted, translates really, really well to social situations where you see people trying to make their point and really wanting to be understood, and you are able to understand them a little bit better because you've had practice at it.
What do you want to do when you get out of college?
I'm going to go to law school. That's the plan.
Same here.
to be fair, we've got, you know, if we've got any, like, prospective interested students, we have people across all different majors. We have a ton of STEM folks, engineers, future, you know, economists, future teachers. So there's people across every possible major. Half of our team is STEM majors, so it's not all just future lawyers.
Right. Are the topics in the competitions, are they all pretty serious, or do you ever get a fun? That's what I was going to ask. Like, do you ever get like, hey, what's the best kind of barbecue, or something like that?
It would be phrased as like an affirmative statement, like resolved. Memphis barbecue is better than St. You know, than like Carolina barbecue.
Okay,
but yes, absolutely. We get sports, we get pop culture, we get you know, asked about everything from Star Wars to the MCU, all the way, and then of course we also will get, you know, climate change and Biden's presidency and you name it.
Okay.
Stuff. So.
If a student, a prospective student, is interested in joining this club, what do they need to do?
So every year we kind of do a recruiting drive at the very beginning of the fall, and we're always recruiting, but they will see us around campus. You know, physically they'll see us on social media. Really the key thing to do is reach out to one of our team members and then just come to a practice. I expect in the last few years we've had a lot of demand, you know, because we've gotten better, and I imagine this fall we probably will. So there's an initial process where we have what we kind of call a boot camp, and we have I don't want to call it tryouts, but kind of we want to see you debate, like just against another total newcomer. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing to mention is like we do not, you know, we have some people who were really good in high school, like these two who mm-hmm. came in and do really well. We also have people who have never seen a debate in high school before come in and learn it our way and kind of learn to do it our way and be extremely successful that way too.
So. All right. Very interesting. NIL opportunities for either one of these?
We would love, if anybody out there is interested in NIL opportunities for the debate team.
I'm going to get Charlie Winfield in touch with you, and we'll see if we can make that happen.
Charlie's a good friend. Please
I love that guy. All right. Now, here's the real crux of the matter here is I have brought these two national championship debaters here into the studio to debate me on a topic that we have no knowledge of. I was told that normally the normal procedure is you get a 30-minute research period, correct? Mm-hmm. Yep. So they tell you what your topic is. You have 30 minutes. What do you do in that time? Wikipedia? What are we doing there?
You try to skim through as much as you can. I mean, obviously, with as good of, like, you try to be really good faith about it. Like, take as much information as you can. You're not going to make stuff up, obviously.
Right.
You get 30 minutes to skim.
I'll be honest.
we don't.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say
you'd be good on some other teams.
Yeah.
But
not naming any names.
Yeah, right. But, like, you basically just, like, pull up Newsweek and try to skim through the article, okay. See what it says, and things like that. And then it honestly, for most tournaments, is not even 30 minutes. You got to go and walk, you know, halfway across campus, God knows where, wherever you are. If you're doing a physical tournament. All right. You only get about 20 minutes to actually sit down and research.
Okay. So, go ahead.
For a good prep period, also, you try to look at the arguments the other side might bring up. So you're only going to spend maybe 10, 15 minutes like writing out your own case and researching, and then a little bit of time kind of finalizing that, figuring out how you want to say what you want to say and what the other side might say and how you kind of come back from that.
Okay. So my entire preparation for this is, you know, 30 years ago in college, I took an intro to logic class. That's all I've got. Here we go. Let's find out. Brett, you've got the topic.
I've got the topic. So, Brian, I'm going to give you the topic. I'm going to let, because these guys are trained killers, I'm going to let you pick the sign.
Okay.
So the resolution is, and you tell me pro or con, resolution is NIL is good for college athletics.
I'll take pro.
Okay, you're pro.
Yeah.
Take, you know, whatever time you think is appropriate and give us the pro argument on that.
Well, to me, you know, I'm a capitalist. I'm a man of America, and I believe that everybody should be allowed to profit off of themselves. The idea that you would think otherwise to me is erroneous. If you are a person, you are allowed to use your name, your image, your likeness, any way you see fit within the laws of this country to profit from. If somebody wants to put my face on a billboard, I'm going to get money from that. If somebody wants to use me as a sponsor, or as an endorser, I'm going to make money off of that. Why should a college athlete be different? Even a college student can do that. If you're just a regular college student and McDonald's says, hey, we just like the way you look, we want to make a sponsor out of you, you can do that. But for years, a college athlete was denied that. And that's not fair, in my opinion. That's not equitable. So has it turned into something that it probably shouldn't have? Has it become something more than what it was originally designed to be? It absolutely has, because there's bad actors in college athletics, and there's just no getting around that fact. But the core principle of a person should be allowed to profit from their own name, image, and likeness, to me, is something that cannot be denied.
Okay, that was fantastic. So we're going to recruit you.
Yes.
Because the way it works is on our side, you do get to huddle with your coach very briefly.
Very quickly,
so give us
then.
2 seconds. We'll just
I think he just called me fat. What's going on here? All right. I'd like to point out that it's 2-on-1 here, too.
Okay, so we're good. We're ready to go.
All right,
so who wants to go first? Do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Go ahead, Devin.
The reason that I think that both of us are going to negate this resolution is because we like college football and we like Mississippi State University. So we don't want universities to be basically monopolizing the process and attracting too many athletes to their size or to their sides and maintaining their status as teams. We agree to the fact that people ought to be able to make money off of their name and work and likeness and things like that, but they ought to be doing that through direct compensation of their universities themselves. We want these athletes to be paid because we think that they are hardworking individuals, and we think that they've been denied by institutions in the past. But we think that NIL in and of itself gives too much leeway to certain athletes and certain programs and denies programs like Mississippi State University or other Cinderella stories out there to have their, you know, time under the sun.
And I think it's interesting that you bring up the point of equity, because we see that in the current NIL system, it very, very heavily favors specific sports and specifically like sports by men. So again, if we want to look at a general, more equitable system for everyone overall, I think there are better ways to do that than the NIL system. And again, we have to look at what's best for college football. So we can talk about whether or not NIL is like in principle good or bad, but what's the effect that it actually has on, for example, college football? Again, we see that it might actually dampen things like competition. It might mean that schools like Mississippi State are never even given the ability to be competitive on a more national scale. And I think that that dampens equity overall.
Okay. And I'm allowed a rebuttal.
You have a rebuttal.
Okay. I will say that I agree with your overarching point of compensation for athletes should come from the university and should be provided through the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars being generated by ad revenue and TV deals. I have no issue with that. Your statement about competition, however, 2 seasons ago, Mississippi State finished 9-4 and was ranked in the top 20 nationally. Mississippi State has done well in the transfer portal era, in the NIL era. 2 NCAA tournament appearances have occurred to that. Now, baseball's taken a little bit of a step back, but I don't think that's related to NIL. Mississippi State is in a fine position NIL-wise as far as the ability to compensate these athletes. And when people talk about, well, all of the good schools are going to monopolize all of the athletes, I just point out, so nothing changed. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, USC have always monopolized the better athletes. They did it when recruiting was under the table. They do it now in the NIL era. That's never going to change. Mississippi State has to win games differently in the football, you know, in football. Now, in basketball and baseball, they can win with talent. In football, they have to do things a little bit differently. And I think, by and large, in the NIL era, they've done okay. And I would also point to Ole Miss, who is not a traditional college football power, no matter how much they want to tell you they are. They've been incredible in the transfer portal era, in the NIL era, because they've embraced it, and they've done everything they can to put a competent and well-run and organized collective together, and now they're on the verge of being a college football playoff team this year. So I think NIL gives opportunities to schools like Ole Miss and Missouri, who will be a playoff contender this year, to step up and become an elite program. Maybe not for a decade, maybe not be a Georgia or Ohio State kind of program, but year to year there's going to be programs that, because of NIL, are able to compete at a higher level.
Quick final word from the negative?
Sure, I'll start. I mean, you assert basically that nothing has changed, and I would say that most certainly it has changed. I mean, nothing has changed in the sense that big teams are going out there and bribing athletes to come to their side through any number of whatever, you know, means, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, now it's actually above the table. Mm-hmm. You know, Tennessee isn't going out handing out McDonald's bags full of like wads of cash.
We know of.
Right.
They
right.
Probably still are.
Yeah, just because they're Tennessee,
right.
But now they can offer $1 million NIL deals through businesses that affiliate with Tennessee, mm-hmm. to athletes that come over there. So, you know, obviously nothing has changed in terms of, you know, big teams trying to go out there and monopolize talent, but the scale has changed. And I think that's a humongous deal for, you know, colleges like Mississippi State University that are trying to compete against colleges like Alabama, who've basically already monopolized the football market and can use their tie-ins to the market to bring in even more athletes. So I think the scale has changed, and that might be a huge argument to make on our side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's an overall kind of this growing effect over time, where you see that these big schools that were already good at football, like Devin mentioned Alabama,
mm-hmm.
They're going to have a bunch of people that want to sponsor their players and sponsor their team. And we don't see that happen for other schools. So yes, other schools can do well, but it just gives an inherent advantage to schools that already have that big football team, and it removes kind of the sense of competitiveness on a more broad scale, and I think that's going to get even worse over time as we see NIL play out in the future.
All right.
So do you guys want to know the result?
Yeah.
Okay, I as a qualified judge of debate. I think what happened in this round was we were playing on, we had a little bit of a home field advantage with somebody who does this professionally, right? And I think what Brian did in this round is he successfully defanged what I thought was going to be your strongest argument, which was the idea of a counter plan. In other words, the idea of let's have the schools pay them directly. Mm-hmm. I thought you could have pushed that a little bit harder and said, no, we're not going to live in a world where both of these happen. You're going to have to pick one or the other. And in a world where schools pay directly, right, you can have things like, for example, Title IX and things like that. You can ensure equity. But we really didn't hear that. But that's okay. You had no prep time. No problem at all. So I would actually, have to give the round on a close ballot to Brian on this one.
Wow. Good job. So am I now the debate national champion? Yeah, have I gone to number one?
Yeah, we'll bring the trophy over.
Yes. So.
That'll work. This was a lot of fun. Really appreciate you guys coming in. Congratulations on the national championship. It's awesome. Always like to see Mississippi State students in successful, being successful in anything that they do. So really great. Devin, Hannah, Brett, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.